power to the people. This is my liberal progressive point of view. We have a disastrous health care system in the United States due to it being privatized. I support Green Party presidential candidate Dr. Jill Stein because of her proposal for a single-payer health care system. ACA only created more red tape against the patients and bureaucracy and created an unconstitutional tax penalty on people who cannot afford it. We need a health care system based on need, not based on cost. And Dr. Jill Stein is looking to present solutions how to fix the problems in our country.
I'm a medical doctor by training and profession. I used to practice clinical medicine. Now I say I'm practicing political medicine because it's the mother of all illnesses. And we got to fix that one first. The Affordable Care Act essentially creates another level of bureaucracy and complexity. And increasingly, you have these stripped-down, catastrophic insurance plans, which is all that people can afford to buy. Medicare for All covers us entirely and allows us to expand coverage so that everybody's in, nobody's out, and you are fully covered, including your eyeglasses or your hearing aid, your mental health, your full reproductive health care. It takes the complexity out of health care such that it's between you and your health provider. It's no longer in the hands of a profiteering insurance executive who is picking and choosing people based on who has least cost and who is powerless.
Nearly 304 million people live in the United States of America. How many of these people should have access to health care? 47 million people do not have health insurance. 30% of young adults are uninsured. 1 in 10 U.S. citizens between the ages of 18 and 64 cannot afford necessary prescription drugs. 10% of U.S. citizens must delay receiving needed care due to cost. 1 in 10 U.S. citizens 45 to 64 years old have no insurance. 50% of them will be diagnosed with high blood pressure, serious heart conditions, diabetes. Every 30 seconds, someone in the U.S. files for bankruptcy due to medical debt. The quality of the U.S. healthcare system is ranked 37th in the world. Every year, 7 out of 1,000 babies die in the U.S. at birth. 101,000 people die each year because of lack of necessary medical procedures in the U.S. The United States of America is the only industrialized country in the world that does not provide universal insurance to its residents. We know this is a problem, but what is the solution? Representative John Conyers suggests a very simple idea. Expand and improve Medicare for everybody. A single-payer national health care plan. Single-payer is universal and guaranteed, comprehensive, filled with free choice, cost-effective, good for the U.S. economy, and brings back pride to our country. Everyone is automatically included in this health care plan from birth to death, regardless of unemployment, health status, or ability to pay. A single-payer plan will cover all medically necessary primary and specialist care, hospital visits, prescriptions, home care, long-term care, mental health, dental, vision, hearing, physical therapy, chiropractic, preventative care, and more. No out-of-pocket expenses, no copays, no deductibles, no coinsurance. People in the United States love choice, and with the single-payer system, you'll have more choice because you can go to any doctor in any hospital anywhere in the U.S. without worrying that you will be out-of-network or denied care. The single-payer plan is very cost-effective because healthcare costs are spread out and everyone contributes to one healthcare fund. This is already how we pay for other necessary services, such as the fire department, public education, and the police. Currently, 60% of healthcare is already paid through taxes from the people of the United States. That 40% of the pie just removed represents the money people in the U.S. pay to health insurance companies. We pay twice as much as the average industrialized country because of the insurance company's bloated administration, marketing costs, and CEO salaries. Under Bill H.R. 676, the 60% already in place from the government stays there, and we add a small 3.3% employee's payroll tax, which is nothing compared to the amount we pay for health insurance under the current system. In addition, employers will pay a 4.75% on employee pay. 5% health tax is paid by the top 5% of income earners, and 10% tax on the top 1%, something any millionaire can afford. A 1/10 of 1% tax on stock and bond transfer, and the repeal of the tax cut for the highest 1% of income earners. Again, something millionaires should be able to cope with. Finally, because a single-payer system replaces the profiteers of the health insurance companies with one source of funding to hospitals and doctors, it will reduce administration and marketing costs, save money by bulk purchasing of prescription drugs, and the elimination of huge CEO salaries to result in savings of $350 billion. Americans will pay less and get more. We will have a healthier, more productive workforce. No more holding on to a dead-end job just for the health insurance. And companies like Starbucks will no longer pay more for health insurance than for coffee. Access to comprehensive quality health care is part of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is not a privilege only for the wealthy. This is the land of equal opportunity, after all, isn't it? It's that easy. Everybody in, nobody out. Let's bring the greatest gift of health to everyone in the United States. Peace of mind. Single-payer health care, Bill H.R. 676. Together, we can. Join the movement for single-payer healthcare, www.healthcare-now.org.
Welcome, this is Mike, Power to the People podcast. That ad commercial for a single-payer was aired back in 2008, a year before the debate on healthcare started in 2009. We have a population of, as of August 13th, we have a population of 324,227,000. And we have a healthcare in this country that's based on cost, not on need. And there are too many Americans that go without. Yes, the Affordable Care Act was seen as a miracle to some when it was passed by President Obama, but in the end, it was more bureaucracy, red tape on patients, and it was just more of the same. More money for the private health industry, and more money for Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and you know, more money for the big pharma companies, and it created another huge bureaucracy where it's based on cost and not on need. And it also created a unconstitutional tax penalty system to people who cannot afford it. There should not be a tax penalty system on people who cannot afford to buy into ACA. I'm sorry, but there are, due to disastrous trade agreements passed by Dems and Republicans in Congress, the middle class basically disappeared off the face of the planet. So, majority of the population cannot afford the tax penalty that's imposed by ACA. Another thing that happened is that healthcare premium rates increased, not decreased, on many Americans in this country. And partisan Dems will be like, no, that didn't happen. Why would someone lie about their healthcare rates being increased after ACA was passed? See, Jill Stein... Now, before I comment about Jill Stein, folks, H.R. 676 was never even voted on. When H.R. 676 was introduced, it was never even looked at by Congress. It was never looked at by the Republicans, and it was never looked at by the Democrats. We are not going to get a single-payer healthcare system in this country as long as DNR and R&D keep controlling Congress and the presidency. We're not going to get it. The only person out there running for president right now, yes, there are four candidates running, but I mean the only person that has proposed a single-payer healthcare system for all of Americans is Green Party presidential candidate Dr. Jill Stein. I just don't understand why anyone protests money spent on health care, but they have no problem in money spent on war. They have no problem on 57% of the United States discretionary spending is spent on the military-industrial complex. That they have no problem when the American Congress shells out billions of dollars to the Israeli government. But we have a failing health industry in this country. We have a health industry in this country that judges people based on their income instead of judging them based on their need. Parkinson's disease, diabetes, cancer of any kind, breast, ovarian, anal cancer. It's like, you know, people are dealing with for so many ailments in this world. And so many are denied the right to health care, which is a human right. It is a human right to have health care in this world. Think of it. We have a right to health care. We have a right to be well. We have a right to be happy. We have a right to be able to get pain medication when we're in pain. We have a right to get diabetes medication when we have it. There are millions of Americans that suffer through diabetes, suffer through Parkinson's disease, suffer through seizures of every kind, suffer through arthritis. And they have a right to not feel pain. But there are many Americans who go through pain on a daily basis because they're told, oh, we're sorry, your insurance cannot pay for it. Which Americans are still traveling to Canada because the price of MS-Contin in Canada is way lower than the price of MS-Contin in the United States. The price of the EpiPen, the life-saving EpiPen, costs way less in Canada than it does here in the United States of America because we have many corporations, corporate CEOs and executives of big pharma companies like the maker of the EpiPen who have become greedy, or the maker of HIV/AIDS medication who have become greedy. So therefore, majority of Americans cannot afford the HIV medication because either one, their insurance don't cover it, or two, they can't pay out of pocket because they're living on minimum wage. Or they're living on $100,000 a year and they cannot afford the prices that they have in the pharmacies. It is saddening and sickening that our government spends more money on military aid and the military-industrial complex and corporate welfare than health care. Health care is a right. Health care is a need. Look at nations where health care rates very poorly. And these people are suffering hand over foot. Look at people in Iraq. Look at people in Palestine. Look at people in Syria. These are people suffering. These are people suffering on a daily basis. Because their governments don't care about them. And our government is heading right in that direction of not caring about the population of this country. Care more about shelling out $38 billion to the Israeli government than, you know, spending money on improving the health care in the United States of America or passing single-payer health care. Single-payer health care would be health care based on need, not cost. That would help reduce, you know, the debt by a huge amount. One of the many reasons we have a national debt over $19 trillion, we don't have a single payer health care system. So the government, through our taxes, has to pay through Medicaid and Medicare and other health insurances because we don't have a single payer health care system. And for the people who say, oh, Mike, it'll never work, how do they know? Single payer has never been tried in the United States of America. Canada has single payer. United Kingdom has single payer. France, single payer. Germany, single payer. Japan. All of these countries got single payer. And people who, citizens who live in these countries will tell Americans, we are more happier under a single payer healthcare system. That the satisfaction rate in the United Kingdom is 62% of satisfaction rate because of single payer healthcare. That the satisfaction rate in Canada is 40%. Now, you ask Americans what their satisfaction rate, how they rate how they are treated in this country, and they rate it very poorly. Not just based on waiting times, on the fact they can't get their medication because they can't afford it, and number two, their health insurance provider will not pay for it. It's just saddening we have a government that's abandoning the needs of this country. It's sad, really, that we have both parties in Congress that don't care about the needs in this country and care more about shelling $38 billion to the Israeli government instead of investing that money into the health care industry in this country to pass a single-payer health care system. You know the trippy part about this, folks? Congress on both sides get a single-payer health care system thanks to the taxes we pay. Thanks to the taxes you pay out of your checks every 2 weeks or every month. So you're paying for a single-payer health care system to the same politicians who claim that single-payer would be too expensive. Yeah, too expensive for the private citizens, but it's not too expensive for Nancy Pelosi. It's not too expensive for Dick Cheney. It is not too expensive for Hillary Clinton. It is not too expensive for Paul Ryan. It is not too expensive for Barbara Boxer. You know, it's not too expensive for the politicians to cover their surgeries every time they have a heart attack. Can you imagine? Think of how many heart attacks Dick Cheney has gone through. And thanks to the single-payer healthcare system, it pays for his heart transplants. It pays for his. But these are the same people who will tell me and you, we can't afford single-payer. But our taxes pay for their single-payer, while they receive $174,000 a year. But that's on... You know, how much Congress gets is on another show. Jill Stein, Healthcare as a Right. You can find this on www.jill2016.com/platform. Healthcare as a Right. Establish an improved Medicare for All single-payer public health program to provide everyone with quality health care at huge savings by eliminating the $400 billion annually spent on the paperwork and bureaucracy of health insurance. No copays, premiums, or deductibles. Access to all healthcare services, including mental health, dental, and vision, include everyone, period. No restrictions based on pre-existing illness, employment, immigration status, age, or any other category. Eliminate the cancer of health insurance, which adds costs while reducing access to healthcare. End overcharging for prescription drugs by using bulk purchasing negotiations. Eliminate health disparities in communities of color and low-income communities. Ensure easy access to health care in communities of color, including community health centers. Allow full access to contraceptive and reproductive care. expand women's access to morning after contraception by lifting the Obama administration's ban on morning after contraception. Avoid chronic diseases by investing in essential community health infrastructure, such as local, fresh, or organic food systems, pollution-free renewable energy, phasing out toxic chemicals, and active transportation such as bike paths and safe sidewalks that dovetail with public transit. Ensure that consumers have essential information for making informed food choices by expanding product labeling requirements for country of origin, GMO content, toxic chemical ingredients, and fair trade practices. Prioritize preventive health care, including physical activity, healthy nutrition, and pollution prevention. See, the reason, and people ask, oh, why is pollution prevention included in healthcare? Why is, you know, what we eat put in as under healthcare under Jill Stein's plan? Because pollution affects the health. What we eat affects our health. The toxic chemicals that, you know, Americans breathe in, they affects our health. Or the fact we have, you know, lead poisoning in pipelines in, you know, Flint, Michigan, or St. Joseph, Louisiana, or in areas of California, or in areas of Arizona, that affects our health, that we don't have clean, drinkable water. That affects our health when a corporation dumps pollution into the waterways like coal ash. You know, it affects our health when we're breathing in toxic chemical ingredients because corporations want to cut corners because they want to give themselves another $1 million raise. Because they don't want to abide by the regulations to help ensure that a community is safe for our health. That we don't have brown color and yellow color coming out of our water. That we don't have oil spills in the Gulf. That we don't have all this happening. And all of this would be able to be accomplished if we had a government that stopped abandoning the needs of Americans. If we had a government that cared more about the needs of Americans than the needs of Zionist terrorists and the Israeli government, we would have a better country. We would have a country. We would have a better government for our children to look at, to praise. But how can our children praise a government and say, oh, I want to be president, I want to be senator, I want to be mayor, I want to be governor, I want to be city council, if all the people that people ever do is more for corporations while they pollute the environment than protecting communities? And it is a known fact that government does nothing when damage is done to low-income communities, and more so when it is being done to communities with blacks and Hispanics, and that is the truth. That the government, no response, when they find out a corporation, you know, leaks coal ash into the Carolina rivers, or 90,000 gallons of crude oil leak into the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, 90,000 gallons of crude oil get into the Gulf of Mexico. Where's the president? Where's the vice president? You know, where's the secretary of state? Where's the attorney general? Where's the FBI? Where's the NSA? Where's the CIA? Where's Department of Homeland Security? Where's the Environmental Protection Agency? Where are all these government agencies that are supposed to watch over the national security of our country that includes the waterways? We need water. We cannot survive without water. As Native Americans have said, in the Dakotas, in South Dakota, against the Dakota Access Pipeline, water is life, and that is a fact. We cannot survive without water. Without water, we all die. And politicians ain't helping to protect the waterways in this country. Our food supply, our water supply. And food and water has to do with our health. Yes, we can survive without food longer, but we can't survive without water. That's been proven. Anyway, getting off on away from what I'm talking about, really, but no. Food and water. That has to do with our health. That's why food and water, healthy nutrition, pollution prevention, toxic chemical ingredients, GMO content is included in healthcare as a right under www.jill2016.com/platform. It is very important what we are drinking in our water. It is very important what we are ingesting in our food. And yes, I do believe that any food product that is genetically modified should be labeled. See, I already have been accused of being anti-GMO just because all I ask is that any food that's genetically modified is labeled as genetically modified. That is not anti-GMO. That's making sure, what am I consuming into my body? That's not anti-GMO. Parents, you know, a mother or father or both, making sure what their kid, child or children are eating, and they don't know whether or not a food is genetically modified, because there's no GMO labeling on a food. And next thing they know, their child or children are getting sick. Whose fault is it? The government. Yes, it was the choice of the parent to get the food, but without the labeling of the genetically modified organism label on that food, we don't have a clue what our children are eating. Yes, it's corn. Yes, it's carrots. We know what carrots are. We know what bananas are. But unless they put a labeling on that banana as GMO, or if they don't put that label of GMO on a ear of corn, you know what I mean? Think of it this way. Many people have developed life-endangering food allergies. What if someone dies from a food item that's been genetically modified, that's not labeled as genetically modified? That person, you know, develops an allergy to it, and they die or have to be hospitalized from it. Government has a responsibility by the people, for the people, we the people, the United States of America. Yes, I am voting for Jill Stein November 8th, but my question is, what is the point of voting for the government if it doesn't do their job? What's the point of voting for mayor or city council or member of Congress if they don't do their job? If they don't do what they... You know, I don't expect government officials to do everything 100%. I don't expect a utopia or a perfect world. I expect them to do their jobs. I expect them to do what they said while running for office. That's what I expect. And that is what, I'm going to get some water here. Excuse me. What I expect as well is voters put the politician feet to the fire the best that we can. That if a politician is not doing their job, then it is our responsibility as a voter to pressure that politician to do their job. Not just take a bad politician's word on a TV screen and just settle it. Not when it comes to the safety for our kids. Not when it comes to the safety for me and my family. Not when it comes to the safety for you and your family. You shouldn't settle for some bad, corrupt politician because they belong to a certain political party. Because they're a Dem or Repub, that means you're going to automatically take their word as fact and not challenge them, even if your child is sick. Even if your child develops a food allergy, or even if you develop a food allergy because they didn't put GMO labeling on the ear of corn. I mean, really, how much does that take to put a food label? How much does it take to say this ear of corn has been genetically modified and label that before it's shipped to supermarkets around the world? I mean, really? How hard is it to write on a little piece of a sticker paper, just put a little in letters, GMO? So Americans and the British and the Chinese and the Japanese, that people around the world have a choice what food they want to get. That we should be able to decide. We shouldn't be left out in the cold. Healthcare as a right. It would save taxpayers $400 billion annually. It would cut out the bureaucracy that people deal with now. It would cut out co-pays. It would cut out premiums. It would cut out deductibles completely. Can you imagine how much money you would have in your pocketbook if you didn't have to pay a copay for your prescriptions at Walgreens or CVS or Walmart? Could you imagine how much money you would have in your pocket for you not to have to pay a $500 deductible on your health insurance? Couldn't you imagine how much money you would have in your pocket if you didn't have to pay for a $1,000 premium that is required? You would have thousands of dollars in your pocketbook of your money to spend however you want without worrying about deductibles, without worrying about premiums, without worrying about copays. That the healthcare industry turn into a for-profit system that does not care when someone is suffering through pain or diabetes or cancer or HIV or full-blown AIDS or, you know, suffering. Healthcare should never be as a profit off of someone's pocketbook and then tell them, sorry, we can't help you because you don't have enough money. We can't help you because you don't have coverage. We can't help you because your coverage don't pay for your prescription drugs. Or we can't help you because you don't have money. It shouldn't be that the poor are always left out of the equation. That someone living on $7.25 an hour is left out of the equation when it comes to health care in this country. You know, what we have, folks, is a selfish generation. Me, me, me. But that selfish person will tell that other person suffering is too bad. You should have worked harder. You should have 2, 3, 4 different jobs. If you went to college, you would have higher pay. That's the argument that not just me, but millions of people who suffer in this country, who have to go through, yes, we have to go through pain and gout and all that as life goes on. But we shouldn't be going through the attitude by others that we have to suffer in pain because we're not worth $50 million in a bank account. We shouldn't be dealt the attitude that, oh, you gotta work 2, 3, 4 different jobs. If you graduated college, you would be able to afford medication. Even for people who graduate college, they can't afford the price of a pain pill. They can't afford the price of an EpiPen. They can't afford the price of diabetes medication. They can't afford the price of HIV/AIDS medication. They can't afford the price of psychomotor seizure medication. Why? Because they keep ripping Americans off in this country because we don't have a single-payer healthcare system. And all nations that have a single-payer healthcare system, folks, the price of prescription drugs is way, 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 way lower than it is in the U.S. Look it up. For anyone who has internet access, look it up. Look up how much it would cost, for example, a bottle of 30 pills of MS Contin pain medication. Look how much it would cost in the U.S., and look at how much it would cost in Canada with a single-payer healthcare system. And you will see a huge difference. For the same strength, same amount of pills. Look at how much they charge for the EpiPen. $300. No hardworking person can, well, maybe the uber wealthy can afford $300 for one EpiPen, but the person living on $7.25 an hour, got food allergies to peanuts or milk, can't. And they end up either hospitalized or dead. Because they can't afford that $300 for one EpiPen. Because you got the person in charge of Mylan, who is the daughter of Senator Joe Manchin, who is a Democrat. She raised the price of the EpiPens by 600%. And gave herself a raise in the millions, profiting off of the suffering of others. All to give herself a raise of $15 million, but not caring what that 600% increase in cost did to all of those people that need that EpiPen because they have some form of allergy. Pollen, you know, severe pollen allergy, food allergy. People have developed unknown allergies for years because of the toxic chemicals that we breathe in on a daily basis. We don't know what corporations are spraying. While they're saying, oh, we're spraying for Zika virus, but we just killed 3 million honeybees. Something's wrong here. This has to do with our health. What they spray in our air has to do with our health. What they spray in our corn and tomatoes and bananas has everything to do with our health. Having massive amounts of lead poisoning in water has to do with our health. You know, breathing in toxic chemicals and knowing whether or not we're eating a genetically modified organism product has to do with our health. It's not anti-GMO to demand that government label foods that have genetically modified organisms. Doesn't make people tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists because they worry about their health, because they worry about their child's health. It doesn't make them nutty to question the status quo. It doesn't make people nutty just to take a government response as truth. We have a right to question the status quo. We have a right to question government officials, including the president. We have a right as human beings and Americans to know what we are breathing in, to know what is in our water, to know what's in our food, to know whether or not there's a genetically modified organism in a ear of corn. Doesn't make us tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists because we question what damages or helps our health. As I said, Jill Stein is the only presidential candidate that that has proposed a single-payer health care system. Gary Johnson has not. Donald Trump has not. Mike Pence has not. Shillery said that there will be, Shillery said herself, there never will be a single-payer healthcare system. Tim Kaine is not proposing a single-payer healthcare system. Shillery said herself, she is proposing to continue the same policies by President Obama, including ACA. ACA is bureaucratic nonsense that has increased healthcare premiums on thousands to millions of Americans who cannot afford it. And then the ones who cannot afford it are imposed an unconstitutional tax penalty on them. A tax penalty of a that starts at $695. Someone earning $7.25 an hour cannot afford $695 in tax penalty because they don't have enough money to enroll in ACA to begin with. And I know, what I'm thinking that, you know, people listening is like, yeah, finally someone says something about this. Finally someone says, and I know other people have talked about this, but finally someone says on a podcast that our healthcare system in the United States is failing. And has failed for years because we got, you know, big pharma companies that have profited in the billions upon billions of dollars. Doctors and physicians support the single-payer health care plan because the reason why doctors, nurses, and physicians support the single-payer health care plan is because it would reduce wait times. It would reduce the stress that is put on doctors, that is put on nurses, that is put on physicians. You know, it would not just reduce the wait time for patients, but would reduce the stress of the job that is put on a doctor. Think of the amount of the number of Americans that go to an emergency room every month, every year. People who go, if you ever watched Monsters Inside Me, I think it's on Animal Planet. I was watching an episode where it said a son, I think he was a child, swallowed a piece of metal. Usually, they say when people swallow metal or whatever foreign object, it usually passes through the body, the intestines, and through the bowels, but the way this entered his body was the nail, something metal, but it pressed his intestines together, a portion of them, like an accordion. So he was internally bleeding. He was in severe pain, and if it wasn't for being taken to the hospital, he would be dead. Think of, you know, people going to the emergency room for pneumonia. People are going to the emergency room for many things. We, as humans, all deal with health problems. I myself deal with health problems myself. If it wasn't for the medical coverage I have today, I would be in severe pain throughout my foot. I have gout. And I would be dealing with very severe pain without that pain medication. No one should ever have to deal with pain because they cannot afford it or their healthcare provider doesn't want to pay for it. We need to improve this country. We're not going to improve the country with Dem and Repub every 4 to 8 years. We're just not. President Obama, yes. He has done some right things in this country. But over the past 2 years, President Obama has done more to hurt Americans than help. And pushing Trans-Pacific Partnership is not helping us. Passing ACA. Yes, ACA was sugarcoated as, oh, it's going to help millions of Americans, it's going to help so many people. But in the end, after the law was passed, it created more bureaucracies, it created more red tape to patients, it increased wait times in the emergency rooms and doctor appointments, it increased premiums on millions of Americans who can't afford it, and then impose a non-constitutional tax penalty. That's what it did. It didn't solve the problems that we have in the healthcare part of the United States. It didn't solve our problems. It didn't give Medicare for all. It didn't give healthcare for all. We still have anywhere between 40 to 46 million Americans that don't have health care in this country. But we have a government that cares more about shelling $38 billion to the Israeli government or $50 billion to the Saudi government in military aid. But they're going to claim, oh, health care is too expensive. We got to reduce the cost. Pass single-payer health care. And that would reduce the cost by $400 billion annually. As I said earlier, think about how much money you would have in your pocket without having to worry about paying co-pays at your doctor's appointment or dentist appointment, foot doctor, chiropractor, OBGYN. Think about how much money extra you would have in your bank account or in your pocket by not having to pay a $1,000 premium or a $500 deductible. That is automatically deducted out of your paycheck. Think about how much money you would have right now in your pocket without co-pays, without premiums, and without deductibles. You would have a lot of money. You would have a lot more Americans happy on their job, knowing they wouldn't have to pay for a co-pay, premium, or deductible. See, they rate countries based on one of the many ways they rate countries is based on happiness. The reason why Americans are rated down the line in happiness is because of healthcare. It's because of having to pay for a copay for their doctor appointment or a copay for their prescription, or have to pay a $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 premium, or have to pay a $500, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 deductible right out of their paycheck. That's one of the many reasons why stress is high in the United States, is because of the cost of health care. If we had a government that worked by the people, for the people, we the people of the United States of America, we would have a better health care system that's not based on cost, but we based on need. No human should ever have to suffer without a medication or without not being able to visit their doctor because they can't afford it. It should be, in my water, it should be that health care is for all, not just the chosen few uber wealthy. It shouldn't be that majority of Americans are left out because they cannot afford it. And it's out of their control. It doesn't matter how many jobs someone works. It doesn't. Not in the 21st century. Not in any century for that matter. It doesn't matter if you're working 10 different jobs. If you can't afford money for healthcare, you can't afford it. No matter how many jobs you are working, no matter how hard working you are, you cannot afford it. And I find it amazing, how selfish too many Americans are in this country. They have the attitude of, you know, not all Americans. I'm not saying all, but I'm saying one too many have this attitude that if you cannot afford health care, then you don't belong having it. Suffer. Suffer through your pain. Suffer through your diabetes. Suffer through your HIV/AIDS. Suffer through your seizures. Suffer through your Parkinson's disease. Suffer through your ovarian cancer or anal cancer or hemorrhoids because you can't afford it. Suffer through your pain. That's the attitude that one too many Americans have in this country. The selfish generation. Me, me, me. It's never about us, us, us. One too many Americans that look down on others in a wheelchair, or people who use crutches, or people who come from low-income families or middle-income class families. Yes, I believe that middle-income class families are basically gone because of the job-killing trade agreements that both parties have passed. But that's on another show about the middle class. What I'm going to talk about next week, and for anyone that's doubting I'm voting for Jill Stein, I am voting for Green Party presidential candidate Dr. Jill Stein and vice presidential candidate Ajamu Baraka, no end ifs or buts about it. When I go up to that ballot, when I go up to my voting location on the morning or afternoon of November 8th, and I vote on that paper ballot, and I see Jill Stein's and Ajamu Baraka's name on that ballot, my vote is going to Jill Stein, Ajamu Baraka, the second I see that name. I have voted Democrat for years. I voted for Bill in 1996. I voted for John Kerry in 2004. I voted for Barack Hussein Obama in 2008 and 2012. It's time for me to change. It's time for me to get out of this DNC RNC brainwashing of lesser of two evils. This lesser of two evils is making sure we don't have single-payer health care in this country. We have a lesser of two evils system where they don't want to legalize medicinal marijuana. Where they don't want to legalize, you know, cannabis and hemp oil for to help children from not having seizures anymore. Excuse me. You know, you've seen the videos online of, you know, one man showing he's shaking violently from Parkinson's disease. He rubs some cannabis oil, you know, on a part of his body, and it stops. You see a video of a parent using hemp oil on their child having uncontrollable seizures. And what does the cannabis oil do? It stops it entirely. But we have a system where they push pharmaceutical medications that have more deadlier side effects than what the person and people are dealing with. I'll give you an example. And to my mother, rest in peace always. She passed away in December 2003. She suffered through HIV for years. Anytime she went on HIV, the mixed cocktail HIV medication, she suffered more than she did while having it. The side effects from that cocktail, I'm not saying this happened on everyone. This is from personal experience. This is from watching what happened to my mother by personal experience. She vomited, had night sweats. These were all side effects from the HIV medication cocktail. And when she didn't take the pills, she felt better. She didn't feel entirely better, of course not, because of having the HIV. But she felt better than dealing with the side effects. You hear the commercials? Call a law firm. If you have internal bleeding from this medication, call a law firm. If you had a blood clot from that medication, call a law firm. If you have thoughts of suicide from a medication for antidepressant. It is disastrous in this country that we have a healthcare system based on cost and not on need. And that is what single-payer healthcare would do. Single-payer healthcare would rely it based on your need, your healthcare need, no matter the cost. The way the system is run today, it is based on how much more or less you have in your pocket. And that shouldn't be how healthcare is run in this country. It's based on whether or not you have a dollar or 10,000. Even doctors, physicians, and nurses support a single-payer healthcare plan because it would reduce the stress on them on the job. It would reduce the amount of people coming to an emergency room. It would reduce the waiting time. It would eliminate completely copays, premiums, and deductibles. One of the major reasons why so many Americans are in debt is because of health care. Major reason why people lose their homes due to foreclosure because of health care cost. Because they can't afford their HIV medication. They can't afford their diabetes or cancer treatments. That they're denied treatment over what the system calls pre-existing conditions like pregnancy. It's just upsetting how our government, especially Congress, has abandoned the needs of Americans in this country and do more for corporate welfare and you thought just left my head on this, but just do more for military aid and corporate welfare than they do to the needs of its own people. And any politician that abandons the needs of its own citizens to shell out billions of dollars in military aid that country doesn't need is what I deem would be a traitor. Any politician that is in our Congress that does more for Israel than it does for the United States of America shouldn't be in power. If they're more worried about the security of Israel, then they need to go live in Israel. But while they're members of Congress in the United States of America, they need to worry about the citizens in the United States of America. Not kowtow to other nations and abandon the needs of citizens in this country that need so many. We have too many problems in this country to think we're going to be able to fix what's wrong with Israel, or what's wrong with Iraq, or what's wrong with Saudi Arabia, or what's wrong with this country and that country. It's time for our government officials to start paying attention to the needs of Americans. Instead of abandoning the needs of Americans in this country. This is Mike, Power to the People. I hope you enjoy the podcasts I put up each week. That, you know, even if you don't enjoy it, that, you know, I'm speaking out of experience and offering my honest opinion. And that's what we don't have nowadays, is people with an honest opinion. You'll have a good weekend.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.